What we are thinking about today is, in a moment we're going to have our reading, and then we're just going to have a few minutes discussing these two questions on our table, which are: what truths does John set out to us about God, and what lies is he exposing? And when we read, when we have a passage read, we will see that those two things are both features, both a key part of the passage tonight. So Paul's going to come up, and it's page 864, by the way, in these church Bibles. It's 1 John. Well, Paul, do you want to come up? And as you are, I'm just going to pray for us before Paul reads that. So if we find that, I'll pray and then Paul's going to read. Father, thank you so much for your word. Your word is living and active, and it's powerful. Please would you change us tonight by your word. Help us to listen. Help us to learn more about you, more about ourselves, and help us to put into practice all that we learn. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
Yes, this is 1 John 1, 5 to 10. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim we have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives.
Thank you, Paul. Well, the two questions on the screen behind me, we're going to just spend a few minutes discussing those from the passage in our groups. Well, let's stop that for now. And behind me on the screen are three questions there. And it says, true or false? Well, it says, are these statements true? Okay, now what do we think? The first one, A times A times A times A times A times A equals 3A. What do we think?
True.
False. Okay, why is it false? Someone wants to say... It should be A cubed. We had. What about the second one? Why? Okay. But surely if we square x and we square the 2, it's x squared and 4. That's the DNA of a maths at that. Yeah, the first two are really common misconceptions when I was a maths teacher. People always, in fact, the second one, people always make that mistake. What about the last one there? It's a slightly random. Red wine is made from red grapes and white wine from white grapes. Why? Yeah, it's to do with red wine has the skin left on the grapes before they're pulped up and white wine doesn't. But again, I think that's quite a common misconception. So, there you go. Let me just... And that's great. Well, these are common misconceptions, what we had on the screen a moment ago. They may catch many of us out, but they're simply... not true. But tonight we are looking at some misconceptions that are far more dangerous than those. I'm called to talk tonight, being honest about God and sin, because John addresses some particular points that the people he's writing to had got all wrong. And he sets out to put them straight. As we get into the passage, I think we'll find that these are just the same things we need reminding of today. Holding on to what is true and rejecting what is false. And I've just got an outline of where we're going. That's just going to be on the screen there. We're going to begin with a truth about God. And then we're going to see a couple of lies that John wants to draw our attention to. And then we'll end with what the solution to those lies is and to what the solution to the problem is. So there you go, the first point there. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. John begins this section with a summary of the Christian message. He says, this is a message we have heard from him, Jesus, and declare to you. I wonder how we might summarise the gospel message in 11 words. So maybe have a think in your head. How might you summarise the message in 11 words? Well, here's John's 11 words summary. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. It's interesting how it begins and ends with God. Because often we think the Christian message is all about ourselves. It centres around us. Well, it doesn't. The Christian message, like the whole Bible, is first and foremost a message about God. And God is described as being light. God is light in the sense of illuminating and making truth known. Like if you shine a torch on a dark night, you can look out and see what is out there. But God is light also in the sense of his moral purity. God is radiant, holy, and perfect. And there's not a hint of darkness in God. He's utterly good and pure and true. You know those energy-saving light bulbs, when you turn them on, they start off dim and then they sort of get brighter slowly. And God's nothing like this. He's a dazzling light. Apparently the sun is 4 with 20 zeros after it times brighter than a 100-watt light bulb. Well, not even the brightness of the sun comes close to God. We need to imagine rather the blazing purity of the God who made the sun. The word is holy, different, and that's what God is. Altogether different from us. Throughout the Bible, darkness is linked with evil. If you just look over to chapter 2, verse 9, which is 1 John 2, verse 9, says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Sinful behaviour marks us out as living in darkness. And in being light, God is distinct and separate from anything evil or corrupt. In him, there is no darkness at all. Light and darkness have nothing in common. They don't mix. And we need to remember this truth about God. It helps us to put everything else in perspective. It shows us that we simply cannot meet God on our terms because he's so different from us. Beholding the holiness of God will mean we approach him very differently. Not carelessly or light-heartedly, but with fear and awe and the utmost respect. So the truth we're to bear in mind is truth about God. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. And the second thing we're going to see tonight then, is these lies to avoid. John's writing to a church full of false teaching that needs correcting. We see the repeated phrase here, if we claim. And then John goes on to describe false claims, which are a lie, and he then corrects these false claims and sets us straight in our thinking. And each of these lies comes from failing to grasp the true holiness of God. That God is light. So, lie number one. sin doesn't break our fellowship with God. Open up the Bibles, have a look down with me at verse 6, please. Verse 6, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Fellowship with someone means to have a relationship with them and to be partners working together with a common aim. So claiming to have fellowship with God is to claim to know God, to have a relationship with him. But these people would say they have a relationship with God, but their lives and actions would tell a very different story. They walk in darkness. We can take this to mean they lived a sinful life, not imitating Jesus, the source of light, but in darkness, away from God. So to claim that sin doesn't break our fellowship with God is a blatant lie. It does. It's like when James writes that faith without deeds is dead. A saving faith in Jesus always shows itself in us as we live transformed lives, daily living more like Jesus. When we step out into the light and surrender our lives to Jesus and live as he would have us live, then we have this fellowship with God. And not just fellowship with God, and we see down in verse 7, fellowship with each other too. I don't know which areas in your life you are living in darkness or failing to submit to Jesus. But this is a stark warning for all of us. Perhaps it's money, time, identity, sexuality, forgiving others, friendship, anger, our minds and thoughts, gossip. We step out into the light as we surrender our whole lives to Jesus. We've been studying James this term at CY on Tuesdays, and we saw this week that friendship with the world is hatred towards God. We can't be friends with the world and friends with God. We can't be friends with darkness and the God who is light. The two just don't mix. That's the first lie. The second lie is that we're not affected by sin. And please have a look down at verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Some claim to be without sin, but the truth is there's not one person in the world who isn't inherently sinful. I just want us to see, if we can just go back, page 794, I think it is, to Romans 3. In the Bibles. So I don't normally do this flick about, but I want to just show two other places tonight. So Romans 3, it's page 794. Just look down verse 10. It says this: as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. And let me just show you, please. If we just go back to Mark chapter 7 as well. We keep a finger in 1 John. Just look back to Mark 7. I think it's page 712 in the church Bibles. Mark 7, 712. and verses 18 onwards. Jesus has been sort of taken to task by the Pharisees, but now he's talking to his disciples about what makes someone unclean. And just look down from verse 18. He says, he said, "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body. In saying this, Jesus declared all food clean." He went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." So we see then that sin is universal. It affects every single one of us. But Jesus says we can't just blame it on our surroundings, our environment. No, evil comes from within us, from our hearts. Often people say, don't they, that humans are deep down inherently good. And it's other people who cause us to sin, or the environment in which we grow up, in which we live. I remember I was having a long chat with my boss after I'd finished a shift in a hotel where I used to work one night. And I was trying to explain the gospel to him. But we disagreed at a very fundamental point. He said that human beings were good at heart. Well, Jesus, we've seen, says that's rubbish. Every human being who's descended from Adam, the first man, inherits from him this sinful nature. That's why if we simply follow our hearts, we'll end up doing and thinking and saying all these wrong things that Jesus listed. We can't trust our hearts. And this is a misconception that John is clearing up. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. Recently, we've heard a lot in the news about court injunctions preventing certain stories being reported in the press. And perhaps it's similar to those who claim to be without sin. A particular affair can be covered up and hidden, but the truth cannot be changed. I'm sure if we follow the news, Andrew Marr and then Ryan Giggs recently were exposed as having taken out injunctions to keep alleged affairs they'd had with other women hidden. Ryan Giggs was seen as a role model, clean-cut, family man. And Andrew Marr, a journalist, he spends his time uncovering stories in other people. John says that we can hide and cover up our sin and claim to be good people, but deep down, however good we may look, we're not. We're not good people. Just look down, please, verse 10. "If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives." So it's not just that we're sinful by nature, but also our lives confirm this. Sin is going our way instead of God's way. And if we say we never sin, not only are we lying, but we're accusing God of lying. Because we've seen those verses that show us God's view of sin, that we're all guilty. So if we say we haven't sinned, we're saying, as verse 10 says, God's word has no place in our lives. We disagree. We know best. So these things we've seen tonight humble us. They can make us feel low. perhaps you've never considered what a problem sin is before. Maybe you feel indignant. I'm really not that bad. Well, I hope we feel that the force of these strong words here tonight. God says, yes, you are. We all are that bad. And if we claim not to be, we're lying. I heard this story of a little mouse who was thrown into a cage of a snake as the snake's dinner. And the petrified mouse saw that the snake was asleep, and he had an ingenious idea. He crept up to the snake, and the sawdust on that lined the cage, he sort of started to sort of move and to cover up the snake who was asleep with his sawdust. If a mouse couldn't see the snake, then he'd be okay. Well, of course, we know that that's living in denial. The mouse was pretending there wasn't a problem. Just because he couldn't see the snake doesn't mean it's not there and will soon wake up and swallow him alive, probably. But it's a silly story, but we can be just the same when it comes to talking about sin. We can quickly see it in others, but we're blinded to the destructive influence of sin in our lives. So then, we've seen the truth about God, that God is light. We've considered these lies John's addressing, that sin doesn't break our fellowship with God, and that sin doesn't affect us. But it wouldn't be right to end here on the note of sin. Yes, John is warning us of the seriousness of sin. Yes, we are meant to be shocked and appalled, not at sin in others, but at the sin in ourselves. But we are meant to hate it. We're meant to fight it. But we're also to confess it, to admit our sin to God, and to know the extraordinary lengths God went to rescue us from our sin. And so that's the final point tonight. The blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. Look at verse 7 with me. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. And then verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So as we confess our sin to God and hold our hands up and acknowledge that we fail to live our lives with him at the centre, we admit that we've not loved God, let alone other people, with all our soul, with our heart, soul, mind and strength. We step out into the light, submitting our lives to following Jesus. And then we can have friendship with God, because we receive this forgiveness and purification. That's not to say we're made perfectly pure in the sense we'll no longer sin. That wouldn't fit with what John is saying about sin. We have to wait for that, where that will one day be true. But it is to say that we are somehow purified or cleansed from our sin, so that when God looks at us, he doesn't see a filthy sinner anymore, condemned and facing judgment. No, he sees a pure, clean individual whose sin has been completely dealt with through Jesus' blood shed on the cross as he died in our place. Why does this happen? Why does God show us this amount of love? I think we see a clue in verse 9. He is faithful and just. Faithful in that he's always promised to rescue a people for himself and save them. And God always keeps his promises. He always does what he says. And just? Surely God would be just if he punished our sin. Well, he did. Just it's not us who pay the punishment. Jesus paid it on the cross on our behalf. So God is just in that he couldn't just leave our sin unpunished. Just the great mystery is why God loves us that much to take our sin upon himself, punishing the Lord Jesus instead. This is the great news. The great news that the hymn writer Horatio Spafford wrote these words about. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. So as we end tonight, may I ask you please to consider one or two rather personal questions. Questions which I need to ask myself. And questions which this passage leaves us with. Do you know the pure holiness of God? God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Are you making one of these false claims? Maybe claiming that sin doesn't break your relationship with God. Or perhaps claiming to be free from sin. Maybe it's just that we downplay sin in our lives. And which parts of your life do you need to bring out into the light and submit to Jesus? Which sins do you need to confess to him now? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let's do this now and talk to God personally about our answers. Let's just pray in the quietness of our hearts. Speak to God.